So this is Leon Goldenberg, and we're talking politics. Politics in New York City, the most important critical date, June 22nd, June 22nd. If you live in New York City, and for those of you who read my recent article in Army would know that if you live in New York City and you are not a registered Democrat, you are basically no reason for you to be registered to vote. Because in November, there is no election. There may be an election day, but everybody who wins the election, except for Staten Island, which is really not part of New York, but all the other four boroughs, and first I'll introduce my guest in a moment, who's laughing in the background, but he's going to definitely agree with me, that if you live in the four boroughs, whenever the voting stops on June 22nd, when it gets finished counting is a different story, and we may not know till July, the election is over. The people who will win the primary on June 22nd will be the next elected officials, whether it's city council or the citywide races. Whoever wins in June is the next elected official. So if you're a Republican thinking of going to vote in November and you're going to make a difference, let me disappoint you. Let me disappoint you. Stay home. Stay home in November. Register as a Democrat if you live in New York. We're going to be talking about the council race that's coming up. Actually, I think it's the 39th Council District, which encompasses, and my guest is Doug Schneider. So first off, Doug, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Leon. Thanks for having me.
Is there anything I said there wrong in my monologue?
You know, not at all, but the only thing I will add is that you can vote early, starting
right.
on
the
June
10th.
12th, up and until
I think June 20th. 10th. Is it the 12th or the 10th?
12th.
12th. Okay, the 12th till the 20th. I tell everybody, voting starts 6:13, because that's a real Jewish number.
The 12th is Shabbat.
Yes, the 12th is Shabbat, and 6:13 really works very well by us.
So that makes a lot of sense. I just got it. It took
right,
me a second.
Right. So that works very well. Early voting is critical. You can do it with ease. If you want, you can get absentee ballots. There's so many choices, but the main thing that I want to bring out is voting after June 22nd is simply a waste of time. Do you know of any Republican? There's one in Brooklyn. I should say there is one in Brooklyn that the Republican has a chance. I think Eric Ulrich's seat in Queens, which is Republican now, there's no chance of Republican coming back in. And the total right now, if I'm correct, out of 51 members of the city council, there are two Republicans?
Currently there are three Republicans.
There are three. Well, we're going to be down to
yeah.
two, in my opinion. And so, therefore, being a Republican in New York City and coming into city council is going to get somebody, how many bills passed? Not too many.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, no, not at all.
Maybe a street naming. Maybe.
Even yeah, traffic lights and things that are completely apolitical.
So let's start first, Doug. Tell us what areas encompass your district, which I'm pretty
sure.
Sure.
So the district has a chunk of Borough Park, a chunk of Kensington, and then most of Windsor Terrace and Park Slope, and chunks of Gowanus, Carroll Gardens, Cobble Hill, and Columbia Waterfront. So it's a pretty big geographic district.
Right. And the areas that you mentioned outside of Borough Park and Kensington are probably the highest turnout voters in the city.
Yes, both the areas, both the two main assembly districts within the 39th have the largest turnout election after election.
Right. Always in the top 10, usually the top one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, the voting in Borough Park in Kensington, which is actually a nice chunk of your district. You know what percentage those two districts are?
I don't have the
numbers.
Total numbers,
right?
But they are a not insignificant number. It's relatively sizable.
Right. So Doug, who I've known for a number of years, has been in my office, is someone that knows our community, understands our community, understands our issues. So let's start talking about issues. First off, from your point of view, as a councilman, what is your most important job?
In my opinion, 90% of the job of a council member is constituent services. It's listening to members of the public. It's being active in the community and knowing about issues, before they arise, but it's connecting people with problems to solutions.
Right, right. I happen to agree. I don't know if it's 90%, but I think it is critical, and that constituent services for people that have issues. I mean, I'm involved with Kojo Flatbush, which does the same thing. And many times we have to reach out to the local council person to get something resolved, even though we're Kojo of Flatbush. And we have a tremendous reach. But because of that, we also have a tremendous reach to the council members and the assembly members and people like that. And they'll pick up our calls right away. But many times you have to reach out to them. And it's not just a broken light. It's all kinds of issues that you guys get involved in that really is tremendously time-consuming, but really critical to doing your job. What do you think outside of that? We're going into brand new. We're going to have 35, if I'm correct, 35 new members out of 51.
Yeah. 2/3 of the council will be new.
Right. Which I have to think, I agree with term limits. I think they should have done one more term. Because what I find is that once you're in the council, you're immediately focused on what are you doing next? What's my next job? And so people are running on the second term, may already be running for other offices. Certainly by the time they're 5 years in, they're looking at what else they can possibly run for. Can they succeed? Can they not succeed? And there is a certain part of having historical knowledge of how the council votes. But you've been involved in many of these issues. What do you sit on now? What different jobs do you have right now?
Well, I think just to go back to your last question real quick about the top things to deal with. I also think, my focus is really on small business and economic recovery and street safety, making sure our streets and our sidewalks are safe for everybody. Currently, in terms of my, all the various jobs that I have, I am a civil rights attorney, and I am also the Democratic district leader for the 44th Assembly District.
Okay. Do you sit on a community board?
I am a frequent visitor to community boards, CB12, CB14, CB6 and 7, and I used to be on the Transportation Committee of CB6.
So working in government is something that you've done as a volunteer for a good part of your life?
Absolutely. I've been involved in politics and government and advocacy for 2 decades.
Okay. Street safety, what does that encompass? Are we defunding the police?
Oh, no. When I talk about street safety, I'm talking about, vehicles, bikes, and
right.
pedestrians.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. In terms of, defund the police, that's a slogan. That's not a policy. And I am a pragmatist when it comes to these issues. Do I believe that we should be spending more on social services, on building up communities? Absolutely. Do I think that you can reform the NYPD through the budget? No, I don't think you can do
right.
that. I think that you have to address the actual problems in order to reform the NYPD. So, I never use the word defund. It means something different to everybody. I much prefer to kind of lay out my actual policy rather than a slogan.
So my own thought process is that when somebody calls 911 and says, I have somebody that psychologically has issues and is becoming violent, I think you need to send out a cop, but you need to send a social worker with the cop. I would not send a social worker without a cop. You're going to put, in my opinion, you're going to be putting social workers at risk of serious harm. But I think that the call should go out and both should come at the same time. I witnessed, actually, last night, I went into a pizza shop to get something, and a gentleman who was probably 6'5", at about 300 pounds, comes in, complaining about his wife wasn't served properly when she was in earlier. And first he says, I don't want that ever to happen again. Okay, I don't know what happened. And then he starts to go, and next time, and then he starts ranting. What do you mean next time? This time you're ranting already. Now, I don't know what his issue was, but at 6'5", at 300 pounds, I was not going to tell him, hey, Buster, you're out of line, which he definitely was out of line. Now, had somebody called 911 and a social worker would have come down, and that probably would have enraged him, and I don't know what would have happened. So sometimes you definitely need a social worker, but you also need a cop there just in case.
Yeah, I mean, Leon, what you're getting at is the nuance that's required to make good policy. And I don't think that the position that you're laying out is unsupportable, right? A clinical social worker does not sign up to, be shot at or be harmed. You know, they don't get it's difficult to talk about, right? But they don't get death benefits. And so what you lay out is one reasonable approach. You know, there's other ideas that I've heard are actually training a unit of the NYPD, putting them in school.
Right.
Adjusting what is taught at the academy to emphasize more nonviolent tactics.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, what you lay out is, reasonable. And I think that, we recognize the problem, right? And that's what I like about what you said, is that whatever the solution is, we agree on the problem. And once we agree on the problem, we can sit down in a room and try to figure out
how to address it.
How to best address it.
Right. That's it. And not just simply coming out, we're going to take our $3 billion from the budget, and that'll resolve everything. Doesn't work.
I mean, that's not my approach.
No, I know it's not your approach. There is a mayoral candidate that says that, though. So I know that's not your approach. Business, the backbone of the Orthodox community, are small businesses. They're suffering. They're struggling. COVID was a disaster. The red zones, which were never repeated and only done in Orthodox neighborhoods, was a unbelievable disaster. But even ongoing, the constant battle, and I brought this up several times. I'm in real estate. I have a building with stores underneath, and I have I rented out the store, thank God, during COVID. He's doing work on the store. He's completely renovating the store, and he's putting in a new storefront. And then suddenly the city tells him, oh, you're taking off the old storefront. You got to put up a fence. Why is the city not organized that when he went in, besides that he needs, anything you want from the city, you got to hire an expediter instead of the city being proactive and saying, what can we do to help you open your business? He had to wait 2 weeks, and that was, he came to me, he says, I can't do any work for 2 weeks because I need to wait 2 weeks to get the permit for the fence now. I said, that's not my problem. He says, it's not my problem either. But the city needs to be proactive in helping small businesses and not just seeing, oh, you want to do something? Let's see what we can do. Come back in 2 weeks.
I think you highlight like three different problems that are all part of my small business recovery platform. I think, you know, first of all, whether it's the DOB or whether the Department of Health, you know, we have to move away from fines and fees based regulation for most violations. You know, hitting small businesses with large fines for violations that don't directly affect, you know, worker safety or public safety, I think is really not justifiable and is really harming our small businesses. I think that second, there is no communication between agencies. And so it would be really beneficial if they coordinated with each other so that there wasn't this constant line of investigators and regulators coming to the business. And then the last thing is that we have to streamline permitting and licensing.
And not eat them up. Okay. My guest has been Doug Schneider. Doug has been running for the 39th district. Council district, which encompasses, of course, Park Slope, Cobble Hill, as he said, but a nice little chunk of Borough Park and Kensington. June 22nd is voting. Early voting starts June 13th, which is 6:13. Just remember that date. I doubt that you'll find a voting booth open on June 12th when technically it opens. So for our community, it starts on June 13th. Doug, any last words?
Yeah, I just encourage everybody to come out and vote. If you are planning on going upstate on the 17th, please make sure to come out to early voting. And I really hope that, I win this race. And when I do, I am committed to serving every member of every neighborhood.
Of every neighborhood. And what's your website if somebody wants to look up or help?
Yeah, you? Please. You can go to Doug Schneider, DK as in Brooklyn, .com.
Okay, Schneider spelled
S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R.
Doug, it's been a pleasure. Good luck on the
Thank
race.
You so much for having me, Leon.
So now I have with me Joanne Simon, who is in the Assembly currently in Brooklyn, although she's a Yonkers girl originally. She started off in Yonkers woman, I should say, but as a girl, she lived in Yonkers. I guess that's the right way to say it. and actually, in your bio, it says, it mentions girl, so I'm safe with that. And she's running for borough president of Brooklyn, my hometown. So, Joanne, first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've been in Brooklyn for quite some time already.
Yes, I have.
Okay, and you're an attorney, and you've been published as an attorney. You've been published in many, many different places. And you actually taught also law at Fordham.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I taught at Hofstra School of Law. And then I taught at Fordham for almost 20 years.
Okay. When did you run for office? I think it was 2004, or that was when you first ran for the district leader?
District leader in 2004. And then in 2014, I ran for the Assembly.
Okay, so you're there now 8 years almost, 7 years. I mean, you're in your fifth
term.
This
is my fourth term, so
right,
7 years. Yeah.
Right.
About that,
okay.
6 plus.
And it encompasses what neighborhoods, your district? That's downtown, Borum Hill?
Downtown, Borum Hill, Vinegar Hill, Dumbo, Brooklyn Heights, Carroll Gardens, Cobble Hill, Gowanus, about two-thirds of Park Slope, and a bit of Prospect Heights.
So all of brownstone Brooklyn?
But a lot of it.
A lot of it, right?
Yeah.
Which is really has some of the most fascinating real estate in certainly in Brooklyn, And just to give you an idea, I serve on the board of a co-op on Remsen mm-hmm. Street that was okay. built in 1865.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful area, and that's all part of your district. But you're running for Brooklyn Borough President. What? First off, why do you think you are qualified? And more important, what do you want to do with the job?
Well, thank you for asking that question. You know, I have been a community leader for many years. I was a neighborhood association president. I was involved in coalition building in and around this brownstone area, but also throughout Western Brooklyn, and on some big issues. So that even when I was just a neighborhood association president, I was very involved in those issues that are really the life of Brooklynites. You know, education, health, transportation, land use. All of those are issues that everybody throughout Brooklyn deals with all the time in one way or another. And so I really cut my teeth doing that very granular community work. And that is a perspective and experience that I would bring to this job. But I'm also a former teacher. I taught deaf children, and I have been working in the field of dyslexia and learning disabilities, as well as other disabilities, both at the special education level for a number of years and then at the higher education and employment levels for even more many
that
more
happens
years.
To so, be a major issue in the Orthodox community because we have large families. Almost every family has a child that suffers with one of these, whether it's dyslexia or ADD, you know, some other initials.
Right.
And
those are in fact fairly high incidence disabilities, whereas prelingual deafness is a much lower incidence right. disability. And so I bring that to bear, and I mention that because, number one, it's part of who I am, and it was very formative in my career as a disability civil rights lawyer to have already had experience in advocacy with the disability community and in teaching and in the disability community. And so that has informed my legal practice as well. But it's also something that affects so many people. And that is an area that I know, for example, is very important to parents because education is very important to parents. It's important to every parent. And when you have a child with disabilities, finding the right program, the program that's going to give a free, appropriate public education, a program that's going to allow your child to grow and develop
so
that
Joanne,
they can
I don't want to
live
cut
as
you
independent
off,
a life as possible.
But
mm-hmm.
We don't have that much time, and I'd like to.
What
are you looking to do as borough president? What do you think are your highest priorities? You have a huge capital budget. You have the ability to put people on community boards throughout Brooklyn, which I think are two of the main jobs. Is there anything else that, you know, besides the bully pulpit that's really critical to the Brooklyn Borough President?
Well, you know, what you mentioned were two charter-mandated responsibilities. And so appointments to various boards, including the community boards and the community education councils, is part of the charter-mandated obligations, as well as the fact that there is a very significant role in land use and a significant amount of capital dollars that can be used to help shape projects, to help mm-hmm. Further various goals. So obviously, I would be doing all of those things. I believe that the borough president's role is really one that is about building unity. It is a unifying factor, and it is a role that convenes people around important issues and helps people and improves that communication between communities and among communities. And so you could call it bully pulpit. There's also a significant advocacy role, but really bringing people together because the issues that we're all affecting, they're very interrelated. And we all need to be at the table to move the borough forward.
What about business issues, which are critical because mm-hmm. we've lost so many jobs? What can you possibly do to, you know, help businesses grow in New York and want to stay in New York? or specifically in Brooklyn.
Yes, well, you know, that is a very big, we will all have a lot of our of work on our plate to help the business community. I'm very proud that as a member of the state legislature, you know, I advocated for, and we got $1 billion to help small businesses. That $800 million in grants, which is extremely important to small businesses because they don't need loans so much, they need grants. And also about $200 million in tax credits, also very helpful for small businesses. But we need to work together because the businesses in everybody's community have been impacted. We also have the influence of a lot of online buying. And so there are ways where we can, you know, help people who are buying things online to buy more locally, for example. That's very important to me. And I know it's very important to the small businesses that are in my district.
Okay.
And I have to believe it's important to the small businesses in everybody else's area as well.
One very touchy subject, defunding the police, which is not in your purview. You will not have a say in it. You can actually put in bills into, no, you can't. The public advocate can put in bills into city council. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, you know, as I have said, what we are really talking about is using police for things that are not necessarily police activities, right? So we need to better allocate some of our funding to those services that would, in many respects, be able to help keep people from coming in contact with law enforcement. So mental health, for example. We need to work on mental health and mental health parity in a variety of ways, but we also need when someone is experiencing a breakdown, for example, or decompensating, that we send out people who are trained mental health professionals to defuse those situations and to address those situations. Because unfortunately, what happens sometimes is people are fearful. The police are not trained to defuse in the way that somebody who's a trained clinician is. And so I think we need to be more creative, and we need to allocate funds for those services that will actually provide the kinds of support and the kind of safety that our communities deserve.
So in a case like that, I definitely believe that you do need some sort of a counselor to go. But you still need the police there to make sure, because I've seen where people that are very agitated, and I happen to know several of them closely, they sometimes, you know, do drastic things which they're not intending to do, and the counselor just can't walk the person down from that, you know, from that tree so quickly. And you still need the police officer there just in case it does get out of hand.
Well, you know, there are certainly situations where that may be the case. But I can tell you from being in, you know, a field that is close to people who are in the mental health field, that's not as frequent a situation.
I agree.
It's just not.
Joanne, you want to give us your website in case somebody wants to look you up?
Sure, please. My website is www.simonsforbrooklyn.com.
For numerical or F-O-R?
For F-O-R. You know, okay. I was raised by a consummate grammarian. It's all spelled
there's
out.
No four. Okay. Thank you very much for appearing on this show, and good luck in the
Thank
race.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.